This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's guest is Melanie Jarrell, author and expert on living a refined lifestyle. But before we begin, I would like to first thank Raider Solutions, who makes taping of Discover Lafayette possible. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses across the country, functioning as their complete IT department, from phones, network management, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Melanie Jarrell has lived in Lafayette since she was a small girl. She began her career as an entrepreneur right out of college, starting her own printing and advertising company. Melanie designed jewelry and clothing, worked in insurance, and in limited partnerships for a real estate broker before she found her passion, environmental and regulatory permitting in the oil and gas sector. She's been a consultant to small and mid-sized companies during her 20-plus year tenure as an expert in the energy field of regulatory permitting and oil spill response. But the reason we're here today is Melanie's other passion, which is etiquette. She's always loved etiquette and manners and grew up learning the do's and don'ts of French protocol. Her grandmother, born of French parents, hosted many events, both social and political. Melanie saw firsthand the intricacies of formal etiquette in a public setting. Her book, Refinement of Manner, took shape as she began to compile her experiences on the subject while spending a summer visiting her sister, Jennifer, in Paris. Over several years, she wrote memoirs of her French upbringing, researched all the well-known subject matter experts for their particular rules of etiquette, and read scores of biographies of women of rank and social status. In the end, Melanie developed a 21st century class of etiquette she calls refinement. Melanie Jarrell is with us today to discuss her ideas and concepts and to give us a glimpse into the style and manner of the refined woman of today. And Melanie, I'm so thrilled to have you join us on Discover Lafayette. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, this is such an honor. I want to get in. I was friends with your younger sister, Jennifer, who you mentioned in your bio, who lives in Paris now. I knew her from LSU, and I had heard of you, but only recently had the pleasure of meeting you, and you define what refinement is, class and style. And so it's an honor to talk with you, and I thought if we could get into your background, your love of Lafayette and growing up here, and then we can jump into your book. So can you tell us about your early days?
Sure. Of course, I am a product of many cultures, but mostly South Louisiana. My dad's from North Louisiana, mother from South Louisiana, but I've had a lot of influences, but I really do call Lafayette my mm-hmm. home. And I think it's from the joie de vivre, mm-hmm. from the French, but also there's a Spanish mix and Italian, and we have a lot of cultures here that I think I like to draw from. And
Right. Being
a traveler, I really can see where a lot of my influence comes from.
Mm-hmm. And you can see that, I guess, from the perspective of being a traveler, how special South Louisiana is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how coming home really means coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a warmth here that I just do not sense anywhere else in the world, actually.
Right. Right. Well, that's the reason for this show, to plug, you know, our culture. And thank you for that. So you grew up here in Lafayette, went to school here, and then went off to college. You want to talk about that, what you studied in college?
I had a great experience in college. I didn't know what I was going to do, so everyone kept saying, well, you're creative, so go into art. So I went into art history, which mm-hmm. became a real love of my life. I still really favor Dutch and Flemish art of the Golden Age, but I really like art in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was not going to make it as a curator at the Met, so I began to discover other things. And what's so great, I went to LSU for 2 years and then graduated from Cal State Fresno. And what was so great about my experiences in college were not only the people and the classes, but the fact that you get to take extracurricular activities and mm-hmm. really expand your horizons. I think coming from Lafayette, I only knew girls from Lafayette
yeah.
and guys from Lafayette. And then going to LSU,
It was great.
It expanded my ideas of what people were like and really opened me up because I'm very shy. So I thought, this is a great way. I joined a sorority, but joining any club, you know, makes you involved in the things that matter to you. So I was able to express the things that mattered to me, even philanthropic.
Right.
Even at a young age, even in high school and grade school, I was interested in that, giving back. I remember one Thanksgiving, my dad took us to the grocery store to get all types of fruit and baskets, and we got to put them together. Then we rode around town, and Dad said, okay, who would you like to give these to? This was way before, you know, food stamps were really popular and things like that. And we had the sense of, we're all in this together, and this is our city, and this is our town, and we want to share. So it was a great learning experience, and I've had those all along the way.
That's beautiful.
As far as, right, as far as what Lafayette means.
So you tried many endeavors, it looks like, as a young woman. You were, I guess, taking your artistic qualities and designing jewelry and clothing, and then you ended up in business, you know, the traditional sense of business, and got into the environmental and regulatory oil and gas sector. Can you talk about that briefly? Like, that's your day job, right? That's what you do to pay the bills?
Yes, it is, and I really enjoy, I think I enjoy helping people that need me, and I see such a niche in this area where, with the expertise that I have, people can draw on that and really get ahead in a cost-effective way, because I feel like the smaller companies are always the ones that get punished for the fines and penalties and fees for not knowing what the regulations say. So I can go in and help them and get them on their feet and give them a program and feel really good. I mean, I've had clients as small as one man needing some help to do a permit to the majors. I've done big projects. I did a hypoxia study for one of the majors one summer. It was great. And just, I think the experience for myself is always learning and curious and researching. I'm a big researcher.
I know you are. And you didn't study this, though. This wasn't your background. So you
learned
on the job.
Not in college. But I could see where I was going as far as loving the outdoors. And Louisiana being the sportsman's paradise, I would hunt and fish and really enjoyed the environment. And realized, you know, this is a good fit for me. I can protect the environment or help oil companies understand the balance between protecting the environment and doing business with other companies and keeping the level, keeping it all level. Right.
I don't think a lot of people think when they put gas in their car, you know, it isn't just the majors providing that gas. I mean, here just in South Louisiana, there's so many smaller businesses that are drilling wells. And I mean, it's so expensive, and you really have to roll the dice. You don't know going in if you're going to get your money back. And, you know, I really had to think about this for you to be helping with oil spill response. And there's so much liability, and the risk is great, but yet the rewards can be great.
The rewards are excellent. I cannot explain what kind of satisfaction and cooperation I feel when I'm a negotiator between agencies and the oil company responsible party. It's an incredible decision to be able to have these two sit at the table together and have them work things out where we're not taking anything away from the environment, because we're going to put back what happens. It's an accident.
Right.
As far as I know, most of these situations are not from human error. In the smaller company sector, in the larger company sector, sometimes it can be human error. But most of the time in the smaller situations, it's because they have older fields, and it's very difficult to foresee any kind of a pipeline spill or oil spill. So we have a good time.
Yeah. What is the name of your company?
Environmental Strategies. And I chose that name because, although it's regulatory, a lot of people, when they think of regulations, they can be thinking of the FCC or any other agency. But environmental brings it down to just the type of agencies that affect oil and gas operations in the environment. Air, water, waste, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act,
right,
things like that. So bringing it down to that. And I really feel like, as a visionary and a strategist, I wanted people to know that I'm not just going to answer their question. I'm going to give them the tools to move forward with the answers.
And understand the process.
And understand.
Yeah. So they can move forward on, with you and beside you, where they can make decisions. Yeah.
Yes.
So all that, we were kidding before the show, steel toe boots out in the industry, and then ballet shoes in other parts of your life. So you grew up with a grandmother who had French parents, and you grew up loving watching her. I know you told me that you loved her closet, you loved her manner.
Oh, I did.
As a small girl.
I was enamored by the fact that her room smelled like perfume, and that was so French. And everything she did, I didn't realize how French it was until I visited Paris. But once I went to Paris and came back, I really saw it for myself, where her roots were and where her manner came from. And it inspired me to really decide for myself what kind of a manner I have, and how I was, like I said earlier, counterculture. It's really not what people expect. It's not for the masses. It's a decision. It's a discipline.
Yeah.
But it's so rewarding, because you're becoming something every day that you choose to be, of a higher quality of yourself. I like to use the example of Roman Holiday, where she wanted to be like everyone else, but in the end, she knew that she had to adhere to a higher standard as royalty. Not that we're royalty. I'm just using it as an example of anybody can, no matter what state they're in or whatever class they're in of life, they can be refined. They can have a fine manner and a distinguishment about them that people go, she's elegant.
She's her best self,
her
too. She's
at her best, and she's you can tell the contentment comes forth, and that's where the beauty starts.
And that's
that contentment inside.
Your grandmother, Evelyn, she exemplified that, and so
she did.
I've read so much anyway about French women and the differences between their manner and, of course, American women. You know, I think we're more consumers over here of not just clothing and things, but just of everything. Just, you know, gobble up everything, supersize life. And the French have a more refined, simple, elegant style, smaller portions, more relaxed, and taking care of themselves. And you saw that with your grandmother, right? Like watching her entertain.
Yes, I
did. You absorbed that.
I saw everything that she did. I was very, like, because I was so enamored with her, I watched every detail. And I began to get my own sense of understanding that it's not in the rush that you make things wonderful. It's slowing down and observing. Less is more. And that's a big French concept, less is more, but quality over quantity. So the book's filled with...
Yeah, it really is filled with everything from dress.
Refinement-isms.
So you think that French women today, Melanie, are similar to what your grandmother was like? Because I know she's been gone.
I do. I believe that this is passed on from mother to daughter and daughter to her daughter. And I believe that some of the things have to be adjusted in the American lifestyle and the business world and the way that we live. But at the same time, I think that there are things that you can take away and really enjoy. And I think the French could learn some things from Americans as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, of course.
That's good to know.
But speaking of the French and what we can take from them is, I believe that they appreciate beauty more than Americans, and I think it's because they slow down and really look at it. They look at things. They're museums. They don't just have a museum, but they have gardens outside the museum. They have a pathway. They have a walkway. They design things. They create pleasurable spaces.
Right.
And that gives you the air and the sense of, I want to be pleasurable. I want to be in this aura that's created all around me.
Right.
So Paris is, of course, an incredible place, but it's your own backyard, too. It can be your own backyard. It can be your living room. I go through my house once a year and probably realize that my taste has improved a little bit every year, and realize, what did I see in that thing that I bought, and refine even that. So it's a process, and a fun process, because you look back and you go, I really feel like I'm better. I see things more beautifully. I see beautiful things more clearly, and I really believe in things more than I used to, and beautiful things.
I know you're a big proponent of list making, and you've shared that with me, not just for the day, like I need to go to the store and buy bananas, but looking at the day, the week, the year, and into the future to plan. And not that everything has to be accomplished, but to have vision and to think ahead. Would you share some of that, like how that's improved your life?
Oh, it has improved my life. It's made my life wonderful because I can focus. I used to be a super multitasker, and now I've decided that I'm not going to do that quite as much, and the list has helped me. And I even carry it in my purse. I have it right here.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
My top 100. But what I found was, when I have these things, from just painting my toenails once a week or using eye cream, down to my mission statement and what I'm going to improve on this year, it's all kept me focused, and it's given me an adventurous spirit, too, because, like Walt Disney said, he goes, it's so much fun to try to achieve the impossible.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a lot of fun. Life is a lot of fun. When you have a mission statement and your integrity is more important than any kind of obsession or any kind of thing that someone would throw at you, you realize that you can make a difference in your life and in other people's lives, but more than that, you can live a full life. And time is not wasted anymore on frivolous things or things that really won't make a difference a year from now or 10 years from now. So we like to, my friends and I like to meet once a year and go over our 100 list.
Oh, and you become accountable in some ways to yourself.
In some ways, become accountable.
Yeah.
For instance, the book. The first year I put the book on Kindle, and because it was free. And then the second year I made a commitment to produce it, to actually print it and get it out there. And then this year, the third year, I've been able to put it on Audible.
Which
so
is great.
And next year it'll be on Udemy as a class.
Yeah.
Like I told you.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So those are goals that meet my mission statement. They achieve the things that I want to do for the rest of my life. And it's a process.
It seems like journaling, I am not at the point you're at, Melanie. I just have to be honest. I multitask, and then sometimes nothing really comes from it, you know? And then you look back at your day or your week, or really, you know, when December 31st rolls around, it's sad when you think, I did a lot, and what difference did some of that make? Did I forego maybe sitting on the couch, hugging my daughters and my husband and my dogs?
No,
I forego that in lieu of being at another meeting, or things that in the long run maybe aren't that quite that important?
I think we're all like that. I don't think that I have gone beyond that. I think I do that as well. In fact, I'm studying how to be a value investor right now. It's one of my things that I'm doing this year. And in reading about Warren Buffett, of course, the advice he gave to someone recently, I don't know if it was recently, but I read it recently, was he asked this person to write down the top 25 things, kind of like my 100 list. And once you do that, he said, show them to me. And then he said, okay, circle the top five. And the guy circled the top five. And then he said, scratch out the other 20. And the guy says, well, I was just going to do those in between the top five. And he goes, the other 20 will keep you from doing those top five. So it does tell you that those people that really accomplish what they set out to accomplish are focused, and they don't let anything get in the way. I've told my nieces, poor things, poor girls, they have to sit through etiquette classes with me whenever I see them. But part of the etiquette class is just experiential knowledge, experience that I have. And I've shared with them ideas on how to make sure that they have 10-year goals, 20-year goals, 5-year goals, 1-year goals. And the 20-year goal should always be in front of them in a way, in such a way that when they get offered a job or this or that, is it going to help them reach that 20-year goal, or is it going to detain them from reaching that 20-year goal? Like a path.
Yeah.
You might veer off on a little shortcut that you think is a shortcut, but will it get you to that 20-year goal? And that's really what will make us happy. I have, my parents are both still alive, and I see them attaining the things that they've wanted to attain all through their life, in their 60s, their 70s, their 80s. They accomplished the things that they really set out to do. And it was a good example to me that in this generation, I believe that we have so many options that we don't stay focused on the things that really matter in the long run.
It's so easy to get distracted. And I wonder how many young people really do think about what they want from life, you know, and not trying to just meet goals and deadlines, like, well, my parents want me to finish college, when they don't really even know what they want to do, or everybody's getting married in their later 20s, what am I doing, instead of looking at what makes my heart sing.
Yes, you know? I wonder about this next generation as well, because I'm not sure that they're getting the mentoring that they could and that we probably got in groups in college. If they're not involved in smaller groups where there is mentoring, then they may not have the challenges. They may not be challenged to think of those ideas and think of long-term plans and think of where they're going in life, but just kind of floundering, we call it, here in Louisiana.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to sit down and think quietly, that takes a lot of effort. To really just stop everything and think, you know, as a 20-year-old, let's say, when everything's just buzzing around and social media eats up day and night, I like this idea about the path, you know, about looking at a map for your life. So
that's
good advice.
And seeing what you can accomplish. When you think of the presidents, the things that they did, what people did before television and social media, I really think we're going to have a backlash on social media. And I think this new millennial generation is going to be the one to lead us into this, where there's going to be bartering, where there's going to be social, not media, but social one-on-one interaction and communication, more communication, because I think we're stumbling over people we don't know because we never got to know them, only electronically or technically.
Right. Which isn't the way to get to know
nothing
people.
Nothing personal about it.
Right. Well, if we can drill down just some of your top thoughts from your book, Melanie, because you talk about the difference between class and style and elegance. And what are some of the top things when you give talks to people? What are people hungry for? And what tips do you have that can maybe make a difference in somebody's either appearance or how people perceive them? What are some things that we can do that are, you know, wise?
Well, first of all, I think that I address the word manner, and that's something inside. It's not etiquette. It's not things that you do on the outside, how you hold your fork or what you say to a person, but it's who you are on the inside. And when your manner is, when you're happy with your manner, or you feel like you've got an anchor for your soul, if you feel like you're anchored and you really can move forward with some confidence, then I think you can adapt to what kind of style you want to have based on your lifestyle, based on the people you're around, based on your social circles. Because I think style has to do with you understanding your body type, from your body type to your communication skills, to who you are, to where you want to go, who you want to be. But class is even a more enriching type of idea, where a person has class and no money, mm-hmm. and a person who has money might not have any class. So those are not connected at all. Social status is not connected to class. Class is a way that you carry yourself, and the way you treat other people mm-hmm. is the classiness of a woman. It shows up when someone abuses her in some way by the way they speak to her or cut in front of her in line or all of these vulgar things that go on in your day-to-day life mm-hmm. and how you react to them shows what kind of a classy person you are, the kind of class that you have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter
about the bank account at all. Right.
It doesn't matter about them. I love the quote that Meg Ryan, I'm not sure I can quote it exactly, but Meg Ryan in You've Got Mail, she says, even confronted with this horrible person, I should not be horrible to them. I should not lower myself to their standard, but keep my standard
right.
of class.
Because then you can't live with yourself if you don't stay true, like you said, to your compass. And I always think, I've mentioned Aunt Pearl in my interviews before, but she died back in the 90s. She was 91, had no money, but I think she had more class than anyone I've ever met. Her house was always open. She worked at JCPenney's. You know, she retired from there, rode the bus, took care of people, raised my dad and his brother.
Amazing.
But there was always an open door, enough food for everyone, and laughter and kindness. You know, she cared.
Kindness is free.
Kindness is free, thank goodness. You know, and she...
Gratitude.
She was beautiful till the day she died. She was grateful for everything. And I wish I could just spend 5 minutes with her and hug her. Because, you know, when you have people like that in your life, you can see later what someone of class and refined manner is. And it isn't about the money. But it can seem like it, doesn't it? We all want to appear that we have things and look polished and we can waste our resources by trying to be something we're not.
And I have to say, the class you and I are talking about might not be one of the definitions of class, because I would think that if you look it up in Webster, it would probably mean social class.
Mm-hmm. Status.
And so that would be, you know, wealth or affluence or mm-hmm. not wealth or the classes. Like the Titanic, they had different classes.
Right, literally, huh?
Literally, yeah. First floor, second floor, third floor. So the class we're talking about, I think, is more of an inner mm-hmm. refinement.
Right, right. And you talk a lot about appearance, too, and refinement of manner, and finding out for yourself what your best colors are, and then making choices on what you purchase, quality, and not necessarily having... you know, dozens of outfits, but good quality clothes. If you can touch on some of that, what you think is important.
That's a tough sell, because I know that the younger you are, the more you want the fad and you want to distinguish yourself based on how you look on the outside. And it's definitely true for all of us. We definitely know that we are being judged by our outward appearance first, before they get to know you. Mm-hmm. So everybody really has their own opinion about how they're going to present themselves as a first impression. And I do speak at length about first impressions and how important they are and what you're going to present with your first impression based on what you choose mm-hmm. to wear, how you choose to speak, your overall appearance and presentation. So based on that, I think the younger you are, there are examples like maybe 50% fad and 50% long-term clothing.
Mm-hmm. That will last, 5 or 10 years. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, you would drop more of the fad because you've decided on your style. You've chosen your style. You've mm-hmm. decided your colors. You know what looks good on you. But I think the fad clothes are very important to young girls because it will help them to figure out who they are.
Right.
And they're not real expensive. There
right.
are a lot of places where you can get them. They don't last very long, but it doesn't matter
21.
Because you want to change. That's exactly place I was thinking of.
You fill up a bag for $100 and
right.
boy, you know, it's
so
not bad.
There's nothing wrong with that, and there's a niche there, and mm-hmm. they were very smart to have that for these young girls, because they want to look good and different and
fit in.
And yeah. they haven't figured out what their social status is or their social lifestyle is. And I think for you and for me, we have business clothes and we have casual clothes and then we have maybe cocktail clothes. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Right.
And so we kind of know what our social circles are going to require mm-hmm. as far as our outward appearance. But I think the biggest thing as you get older is your accessories. And I think your accessories should be the best you can have.
Right.
Because as you get older, your style and your clothing is going to be quieter. So if you really want to pop, you would try it with the accessories.
Yeah, something
so we
memorable.
We talk about things like that in the book, mm-hmm. but it does start with your manner, and it does affect everyone around you, depending on what kind of first impression you want to give.
Right. I thought about you the other day. I had run over to Costco, and of course I had on my flip-flops. One of my little Columbia skirts, you know, that I can wear exercising or wherever. And I know that you talk about how we really, so many of us just have a very relaxed manner going out in our gym clothes, you know, spandex pants. And so I went to Costco, came back with my Havana, you know, flip-flops and read, it's really not good to be seen like that. You know, that if you respect yourself, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you can talk about that, what you see.
Sure.
For the majority of us, we have gotten so relaxed on how we appear anywhere.
I don't think it's about the relaxed. I think it's the hecticness of the, that's not even a word.
Well, but
it's how hectic our lifestyles are mm-hmm. that we will not take the time to change clothes or to check our makeup and our hair, or to recurl our hair because we live in such a humid mm-hmm. summer here. It's so humid. We will not bother. We consider that a bother, as opposed to the French, where they wouldn't even think of going out like that.
Without checking their eyebrows or
exactly,
making sure their hair is right.
Because yeah. It's not about, it's about the experience of going out. It's not just about going to pick up something at the store. It's this, they look at it as they're going out, and they're going out in the public, mm-hmm. and they want to present themselves. What if the president walked by? This is how they look at it, mm-hmm. is especially the 6th arrondissement and 1st arrondissement. They are the biggest on fashion and how to dress. And you will never see a woman unkempt in that area.
Uh-huh.
In the 7th, where I stayed, they're a little bit more relaxed. And there are more tourists, so you see a lot more tennis
yeah.
shoes and leggings and things like that
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't see in some of the other artisans in Paris.
But you personally, Melanie, you present yourself when you go out. I mean,
I try to remember that. Mm-hmm. I don't make it a rule, but I just remember the concept of, you know what, I'm going out, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. I might as well feel good about myself. I used to work for Youth for Christ in college, and we would always be asked to take kids down to Disney World for senior night. And the senior night was they shut down Disney World at night, and then they let seniors come in and spend all night from probably midnight till mm-hmm. 7 in the morning. And one of the requirements of the Disney Corporation was that the girls had to wear pantsuits and the guys had to wear sport coats.
At Disney.
Do you know what a difference that made with vandalism and
right, their demeanor.
All of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were dressed up, they acted differently. So it's more for myself and how I feel about myself that I will actually change before I go out or only wear gym clothes in the gym
mm-hmm.
just because it's for me. I don't care what anybody else is doing. It's just for
right.
me. It's just an attitude that I have about myself, and it's not so much who am I going to see, but it's more of the French attitude of I'm going out.
Mm-hmm. I like that, though.
I need to
deliberate.
Dress appropriately.
Yeah, deliberate actions.
And that's an old-fashioned idea probably to most people, which is fine. I did get it out of a first edition book of Lillian Eichler, written in 1928, but I decided to adopt it, and I really like the lifestyle I have.
You can see the changes just in our lives the past 20 years, like in travel or people. We used to dress up. We would dress up to go to church, to go out to dinner, to travel. We didn't go out wearing tennis shoes, you know. So it's been a relatively quick relaxing of some of our standards. So I enjoyed reading it. I do want to say that refinement of manner is, it's really a treasure trove, and it's about being a good steward of yourself, no matter whether we're talking about dress, manner. So
very
it's
well
much
put.
More than etiquette. And it also gets you to think about your life and your choices and organizing yourself and your time. So I want to commend you on this, and I really encourage people to grab this, whether they get a hard copy or subscribe on Kindle or Audacity. So I want to ask you one thing, and then we're going to turn it over to Jason. I know he may have a few questions for us. Jason Sikora is here with us. I wanted to ask you, Melanie, to share Udemy with people, because I wasn't familiar with that until I met you, and I know that you're on a self-improvement quest for various endeavors, things you're interested in, and you showed me Udemy, and my daughter Kelly and I are going to take accounting on it for $10.99 this summer. She's taking accounting at LSU fall, and we looked it up, and I said, Kelly, I think I can listen with you, but it's a class on the terms of art and accounting, and it's got just about everything you'd want to learn, but I'd never heard of it. How do you spell Udemy?
U-D-E-M-Y, Udemy, and I don't even know how I found it online, but I have 35 courses that are lined up, because every time I see one, I just think, I would love to know that. I'd love to learn that. I never got my MBA, so there was a course, an MBA in one course. It was about 10 hours, and I have learned more from that MBA course about business, and I wish I had taken it years ago.
Right, right.
But these are the types of courses that UL offers as well. On UL night courses that continuing education, which I'm doing the business etiquette course this fall.
Oh, great. So people can take your class. That's perfect.
Customer service.
That's so important.
It's really important.
Yeah.
So Udemy is a wonderful resource, and I think for the price and doing it with someone is a great idea. Mm-hmm. Especially your daughter, and taking just a basic course. But they have things on how to sell on eBay. They have anything you could want to know. I know YouTube offers 30-minute, maybe not even 30 minutes, maybe 10-minute courses on different things, and I use that extensively to figure out how to put something together.
Or I do too, yeah.
Fix my TV or
does my car
like
need
that.
To go to the shop, or you know, can
right.
I just
it's
drive
a great
it without?
Resource. I would... I'm glad I was born when I was born, and I get to have all of this. Yep. It's really fun.
Well, I wanted to share that because we've looked at it. It's full of subject matter experts on all kinds of fields, and especially things that help you in growing, you know, improving
growing
yourself.
Personal
so,
growth. Exactly.
Right. But I did want to share that. And so Jason Sikora is with us today, Melanie, and don't be nervous about this. He listens, and typically there'll be things that I didn't even think to ask, and you have a few questions?
So, yeah, my first one, it's probably the most difficult of my three questions. And it's
thank
more,
you for only three.
Yeah, no worries. It's a very personal one. Excuse me. You speak very well about manner and etiquette and style and class, and you've obviously put a lot of thought into it. I've kind of taken in terms of style, the Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs approach, where I wear almost the same thing every day, so I don't have to think about it. Is there any merit to that?
There is. A uniform is the best way to feel good about yourself, because you have just taken out most of the stress of the morning. And it's in the morning when you need to feel good about yourself, feel relaxed, feel rested, feel like you're walking out of the door with a lot of energy. If you expend or waste a lot of energy in the closet every day with things thrown all over, it robs you of being productive during the day. So uniforms are great. You know, that's why they do it in grade schools and in schools,
okay, yeah.
Is so that the children don't have to think about that in the morning, and there's no class separation who wears what. So
that makes sense.
The uniform is a great idea, and I do recommend it in my book.
Oh,
start
okay.
with a uniform.
Okay.
Start with the uniform and accessorize. And then when you start getting, if you start getting more and more of a planner like I am, then you'll probably put your outfit out at night and not think about it. But if you are nervous about where you're going that day, things like that, make sure you wear an outfit that you have worn and gotten mm-hmm. compliments on already. So you put it on and go, oh, so-and-so really liked me when I had this on.
Yeah.
And you, as a girl. But as a guy, yes, you know, your colors match. If you're not good at that, then wear something that someone has complimented you on.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Second question, how did you go from studying art to moving into environmental consulting in oil and gas? How does that happen?
I took a sociology course.
Udemy.
No. Udemy. I took a Udemy class. No, I just was trying to find my passion. It took a while.
Okay.
And I thought that I could do well in art, so I did advertising, and I was creative, but I did not want to go up against the great mm-hmm. ad agencies that we have in this town when I was just out of college. And so I looked around for different various jobs and just to try out different careers. And when I found this, I knew I was home. I woke up excited. I woke up looking forward to every day. Now I'm on LinkedIn. I'm so excited about the people I'm meeting on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, that is such a great, as far as social media, it's the only one I'm on, honestly. And I am really enjoying that.
And then finally, in regard to, you talk about creating and enjoying your space around you. What's your favorite place in Lafayette? Favorite place to visit and just enjoy the beauty of it? Or a couple favorite
several.
Places. I was going to say there's probably a few.
The zoo.
Okay.
Acadiana Zoo is one of my favorites. I was a docent there, and I just love it. I feel very comfortable there because I was there so much mm-hmm. for a period of time. And I would have to say Girard Park is mm-hmm. another one of my favorites. Obviously, the outdoors. I do enjoy a couple of the restaurants, the ambiance in a couple of the restaurants here. But mostly I think it's the parks and mm-hmm. the areas where we have put some time and effort into letting people see the beauty of the trees that mm-hmm. are indigenous, the flowers, the plants, walkways, people enjoying space. I like to drive by Girard Park, actually. It makes me feel good just driving by, mm-hmm. seeing people walking and knowing that there's a frisbee golf there that I never get to go play. I hate that. I love frisbee golf. Well, I love golf.
I love that part,
but I like
too.
Frisbee golf, too. I'm terrible at it, but
you don't see many women playing that, Melanie.
Oh,
it's always young guys.
Oh, really? Young guys? I need
to
start
that makes it even
more.
Better. I know.
Yeah, there you go.
That is fun. It's a beautiful place with the fountains.
So those are some of my favorite places. I don't know that I've explored all of Lafayette, so what about you? What's your favorite place?
What's the park up near the 10 freeway that has the frisbee golf as well?
Oh,
the farm? No, that's a golf
Is that
course.
Beaver? Beaver Park? I'm not sure. Right by I-49? Evangeline?
Louisiana Avenue. Is that the one that you mentioned?
Oh, yeah. That's Acadiana. What is that? The Nature Station.
Yes.
Yes.
I
you can
love
bring your dogs
that place.
There. Yeah.
I love going up there and walking around and just kind of getting lost in the trails back there.
And you're on the water back there, too.
Like
water
Avery
back
Island.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I like doing a lot of backpacking, a lot of hiking. So mm-hmm. and any place where I can kind of get away from city and get in just into nature, I love those places. So I'm really looking forward to Lafayette Central Park. I guess Maka's Park is what they're going to call it.
Yeah, that's going to be open again in the near future. It's closed for a while, but it's going to be a real addition right in the middle of town. But we
Green
do have a lot
space.
Of
we need do. It in our little town.
Thank goodness that was saved.
So. Calm people down when they're driving.
Yeah.
Well, and it's great because it's going to be a place in the middle of the city where there's all this hustle and bustle that's just kind of isolated. So mm-hmm. those kind of areas I like. And then sports parks, things like that. Just mm-hmm. anywhere where I can get away from pavement. But I grew up on 10 acres of woods, so it kind of brings me back to that whole childhood, just enjoying outdoor.
Right.
Right.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
Love the outdoors. I used to backpack above Timberline and do a lot of that, and a lot of bike trips.
Okay.
The Oregon coast, San Francisco Bay, I did a lot of bike trips over there.
Okay. Yep. And there's lots of great hiking up there, too. You can hike that whole coast. There's trails up there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah.
Those are great questions. Jason, thank you. I'm
no
just
problem.
So grateful for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
For engineering this show. We couldn't do this without Jason Sikora and Raider Solutions. I want to thank the company for
absolutely.
Making the space available and helping us introduce people like Melanie Jarrell to our greater community here. Today's guest has been Melanie Jarrell, author of Refinement of Manner. And she really is truly someone who lives life and... I don't know if you look at yourself as an expert, but you really are on taking each day and seizing it. So thank you for sharing
your
wisdom. And we didn't even touch really most of what's in the book. It's just full of great ideas. It's mainly focused on women, but I think the overall lifestyle choices apply to men and women about using our time well. And
absolutely. There is a lot in there to glean for anyone.
Right.
And any age.
Right. So I enjoyed it and recommend it to others. And I'd like to thank our listeners for supporting Discover Lafayette. This interview and all of our interviews can be found on discoverlafayette.net. You can also subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcast. We encourage you please to do that and then rate and review the podcast if you have a moment on iTunes. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.